Welcome to the Classical Academy's podcast, Partnering with Parents. Join us as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, Executive Director for the Classical Academies. Thrilled to be doing another podcast. And today we're spending some time with Alyssa Adkins and Jennifer Meehan regarding understanding bullying and how to know if it's happening to your child. So ladies, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So before we get started, tell me a little bit about yourselves.
Oh, of course. So my name is Alyssa Adkins. I am the middle school counselor at Classical Academy Middle School.
Perfect.
So yeah, I've been here the last 3 years and I'm just loving every minute of it.
Hi guys. I'm Jenny Meehan and I am the school counselor over at Coastal Academy over in Oceanside. And I've been with the organization for about 2 years now. So very special.
Excellent. Well, today's topic I know is in the headlines. People are using the term bullying all the time. Yes. So talk to us about what is bullying and how is it impacting students today?
So bullying comes in various forms, but most easily it is identified as repeatedly and intentionally using any act of aggression in an attempt to gain power over another individual. So three things when identifying when it's actually happening is that it's happening intentionally. So when someone is bullying another, when a victim is being bullied, it's being done intentionally by another individual. It's not happening by accident or unintentionally. Mm-hmm. It happens repeatedly, so it happens more than once or two times. It's reoccurring. And then lastly, it involves an imbalance of power. It's an attempt for one individual to exert power over another by being intentionally mean. It affects many students as well as their families. Children and teens that are often bullied feel unsafe at school. They feel alone and isolated with no way of getting help. And it can often lead to depression and sometimes even suicide ideation. This is a problem that our organization cares very much about. And we're here to support those students and their families in overcoming any past trauma that occurs from bullying, as well as preventing bullying from occurring in the future.
Well, I think it's really important to repeat those three things, what it is, because I think there's so many times where parents step forward and say, my child is being bullied, and gosh, it's terrible that this bullying situation's going on. Yeah. So let's revisit. What are those three things again?
Yeah. So it's happening repeatedly. It's being done intentionally, and it involves an imbalance of power.
Okay.
So we'll definitely talk more about that as well, so we can help the audience better identify when it's happening.
I think it's definitely important to address the types of bullying that are current right now. So just kind of going through.
Please. You know. Absolutely.
What are the common types? And these are just kind of the foundational standards of bullying. These can kind of segue into subcategories and subgenres and blend in together, but these are the core common types of bullying. And this is all according to the National Center Against Bullying. The first one would be relational aggression, which is the use of behavior that's intended to harm someone by damaging or manipulating his or her relationship with others. This can include verbal acts of aggression, such as threats, put down, name calling. It can also include hidden acts of aggression, such as body language, exclusion, spreading rumors. Relational aggression is to deliberately harass, threaten, or intimidate someone. There's also physical bullying, and this includes hitting, kicking, tripping, punching, pinching, pushing, damaging property. Physical bullying causes both short-term and long-term damage, and this is, you know, to our mental health. There's also verbal bullying, and that kind of includes, which we were talking about, calling, insults, teasing, intimidation, any kind of like homophobic or racist remarks, verbal abuse. While verbal bullying can be kind of harmless, like sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, it can escalate to levels which start affecting the individual target. There's also social bullying, which is sometimes referred to as covert bullying, and it's often harder to recognize and can be carried out behind the bullied person's back. So it's designed to harm someone's social reputation, cause humiliation, and it includes, like, again, the lying, the spreading of the rumors, the negative facial features or physical gestures, any kind of menacing or contemptuous looks, playing nasty jokes specifically in order to embarrass or humiliate, mimicking unkindly, encouraging others to exclude someone, which we see a lot.
Right.
damaging someone's social reputation again, which we kind of see that, or their social acceptance in their circles, trying to kind of manipulate that. And then finally, I think a heavy hitter is cyberbullying, which is something that has really ramped up probably in the last 5 to 10 years.
Which has amplified
so much
the harassment of that student or that child.
Yeah, we remember when we were in middle school, and I mean, it was, elementary, middle, high school. It was tough enough just the social norms day to day, but now you add the technology and the social media and all of the different platforms that there are out there. So it can be covert or overt using those different platforms, such as social media, instant messaging, Facebook Messenger, all of those. It can be public or in private, and sometimes only known to the target and the person that they're bullying. And it's abusive, hurtful texts, emails, posts on the platform, images, videos, and it's deliberately excluding others online as well. Nasty gossip or rumor spreading and intimidating others online or using even their login information, getting their login information, going into their platform and, sending
being posts. Inappropriate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing about cyberbullying is that teens are more often going to say things they wouldn't normally say in front of someone's face. So that, I think, is what kind of escalates it, makes it more harsh, and this is why it's occurring more often, because they're saying things they might not normally say, at school, in person, because they have the screen behind them, and it makes it kind of impersonal. So it's definitely something that we're seeing more and more, but something that the schools, especially our school and our organization, we're doing our best to help our students to understand how to be a digital citizen online and to prevent those situations from happening.
So are there common ways that a parent can know if their son or daughter is being bullied?
Yeah, so there's a great book that was written by a school counselor by the name of Signe Whitson. And this book is called 8 Keys to End Bullying, Strategies for Parents in Schools. And in the book, she mentions how to identify when bullying is happening or when something else is maybe happening. So she gives 3 terms: rude, mean, or bullying. And I will explain those to you. So rude behaviors, those can be identified as inadvertently doing or saying something that hurts somebody else. So that could be me saying something to you that that you may perceive as rude, but maybe I didn't intend it that way. So that's a rude behavior. Next is mean behaviors. And those are listed as purposely doing something to hurt someone else. But this happens 1 or 2 times. This doesn't happen often. This could involve 2 individuals getting in an argument.
Okay.
And one, maybe they're friends. And one says something to hurt the other. But that doesn't happen again because they make up and everything's fine later on.
Moving on.
So that's
right.
Not an intention, or that's not a situation of bullying, because it's not reoccurring. And it's not involving trying to exert power over another individual. But lastly, bullying, as we talked through before, and we'll mention this a lot so that we can help the audience to understand, bullying is distinguished as it's done intentionally, it's repeated, it happens over time, and it involves that imbalance of power where they're trying to make someone feel lower than themselves. So helping our students to properly describe these behaviors that are occurring, this is going to empower them as well as helps adults that are involved to properly address what is happening. Students who can recognize that a behavior such as rude or mean, while might be hurtful, may not have been done intentionally, will help them to build resiliency. And that's what we want to do for our kids, is to help them to identify what's going on correctly and build that resiliency to overcome the situation and to know how to get help when they need it.
And to self-advocate, to see what's going on, to identify what's going on, and then get an adult's attention.
Exactly. So I have a little game that I have planned for us 3 to play, if you're up for that.
Love games. Here we go.
Good. So I'm going to give you 3 scenarios of, fake situations between students. And then, Jenny and Cam, you can tell me whether or not you think the situation represents rude, mean, or bullying. Does that sound
perfect?
Good? Okay. So scenario number 1. Kayla tells Mackenzie that she can't sit with her on the bus today because she is saving the seat for a girl from her history class. Do you think this is rude, mean, or bullying?
I think it's rude.
It's rude.
Yeah.
She's so rude.
She's rude.
That's just rude.
She's She might have been very rude, right? So, yes, Kayla is being rude, but there's no evidence of intentional meanness, repetitive behavior, or power imbalance, So, with this situation, Mackenzie might have seen it as rude, or maybe another student may not have seen it as rude. They're like, oh, okay, I get it. They want to save it for their friend. Mm-hmm. It's kind of about the perception and then the intention of the other individual, whether or not they were meaning to say it in a way that was rude or to hurt someone else's feelings. So, all right, situation or scenario number two. Lucas tells Damien that he can't play with the Legos because he is the worst builder in the whole first grade. Do you think this is rude, mean, or bullying?
He's being mean. Absolutely.
Yeah. Based on the information we're given, Lucas is being mean. It appears that his words are intended to hurt Damien, but there's no evidence of this happening repeatedly or over time, and there's no evidence of a power imbalance here.
Well, that's all about who has more Legos.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. You got to think about that as well. All right. So scenario number three, Talia makes plans to go to the dance with her new friend, Gwen. Katie tells Talia that if she hangs out at the dance with Gwen, that everyone will think she is a total weirdo and no one will like her anymore. At lunch that day, Katie convinces everyone that it would be a really funny joke to laugh out loud when Talia approaches the table. Do you think this is rude, mean, or bullying?
Bullying and all of the above. Uh-huh. Rude and mean.
Yeah, it is rude and mean as well. You're right. Exactly. You're right.
Super mean.
Yes. It's definitely bullying. So Katie's acting like a bully. She is creating an unfair imbalance of power by getting all of the girls at lunch to laugh at Talia. She's also using words like everyone and no one to threaten Talia about how she will be socially excluded if she does not do what Katie wants her to do.
It's that manipulation of the social circle.
And that's mm-hmm. actually an example of relational aggression. So using your relationships in order to gain power over others. So yeah, very good. You guys got an A.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Nobody wants an A in bullying.
No.
Nobody.
No, very true. But being an advocate against it, that's great.
So how can parents support their children if they are feeling like they're being bullied?
Yeah. So it's pretty simple, but the first step is to talk with your child. And in that, a big part of talking with them is listening and encouraging. Initially, when your child is coming to you saying that something is going on at school, it's important for any adult, when a child comes to them about that, to just to take the time to listen and to hear what they're saying and what's going on, and to initially try to avoid questions. Mm-hmm. Just because when children and teens are getting bullied, they can often be blaming themselves, and asking questions initially can make them feel like you're doubting what's going on. So it's important just to be sensitive about that and to initially just listen to what's going on and to encourage them in the process of them sharing. There's also going to be situations where a child or teen isn't really going to want to share what's going on, because a lot of times teens especially don't feel like adults can really help them. So it's important for any adult that's talking to a child or teen that's getting bullied to encourage them and to tell them things like, you know, this isn't your fault. You can come to me. I'm here for you and I care about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of times it's okay to come to an adult. It's their responsibility to solve these types of problems, because sometimes they cannot do that. They're not to blame about the situation. Bullying's never okay, and they have the right to feel safe at school, and no one deserves to be bullied. A lot of times children and teens can really be hard on themselves, thinking about what's happening and think, you know, I deserve this. What did I do wrong? And we have to make sure that they know they didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. That you are there for them and this is wrong and you're here to help them. So providing that hope that there's help and you know what to do to help them in the situation.
So typically when a child is truly being bullied, they're worried about telling their parent, or maybe even their teacher will even make it worse. So
yes.
Having that fear there. But what is your advice when it does come to that?
When it comes to the child feeling that way, or the adult actually does make it worse?
Well, I guess it's two things. I would think the child may be concerned, if I do tell my mom, if I do tell a teacher, it actually might get worse.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, from my experience, it always comes out some way, because they do want help. So they may tell a friend, they may tell an adult. And when it does come to the adult's attention, I think it's important to go to that child and just encourage them that you are here to help and just to try to support them and show them that you care. Mm-hmm. Because studies do show that when a child knows and feels like an adult cares for them, they're much more willing to take the risk of telling them what's happening. Exactly. Because it is a risk for the child to tell an adult what's happening because they're afraid of retaliation. They're afraid of other things coming about them to make the situation worse. Mm-hmm. So it's important, you know, just that listening, encouraging, and supporting them and just letting them know that you're here, you can help, you care about them, and that there's hope in getting them out of this. They don't feel isolated in the problem.
Sure. Yeah. Jenny, any additional information on that? Or
I pretty much, she nailed it right on the head there. You know, I'm just thinking as far as if we can kind of draw back to our own experiences and when we, you know, we're dealing with any kind of social issues. Yeah, of course, going to a parent, there's that huge risk factor. And will it be worse if I go to my teacher? I don't want anybody to know the confidentiality. Yeah. So that, I think having somebody to go to, whether it's your parents, your friends, having that safe place to go to where you know that that person's there to support you regardless. And also being able to figure out, you know, a huge part of growing up is just being able to figure out these situations because not everything in life is going to be perfect. Not every peer relationship or work relationship or friend relationship that you have is going to be perfect throughout the duration of your life. So how can you, you know, how do you problem solve for yourself and get through this for yourself? Of course, with the support of your family, your friends, your teachers, counselors, et cetera.
Yeah. And then after having that initial conversation of listening and encouraging, it's important to make a plan with the child of how we're going to solve this together. So each child is different. They all have their different strengths and abilities that are going to help them build that self-confidence when they're either if the bullying is happening on a sports team or at school, wherever it is. We want to work with them and see, you know, when is this actually happening? Where are you feeling uncomfortable? If this is happening at school, where at school are you feeling unsafe? Is it during passing period? Is it a specific class? Is it during free time? You know, where is that at?
Right.
Is there an adult at school that you feel comfortable with? What adults need to get involved? Is this, you know, this could be at school or it can be your coach, wherever the bullying is occurring. And you want to get those people involved in the plan to support the student. And then lastly, after making this plan, it's important to share it with your school. So making your admin aware at your child's school of what is happening. Talking to the school counselor and making that connection with them and your child, if your child doesn't already know the school counselor, and sharing that plan with them and then enhancing that plan altogether to make sure that we have something in place to make sure that child feels safe and they can go to school again and have fun and learn and do what they're supposed to do there. So that's very important as well.
Well, I think early intervention is so important because as behaviors start to happen and they're not reported, and then by the time they are reported, weeks or months or time has gone by, and I know at the middle school or even at the high school, some of these pervasive behaviors are specifically happening where there's no adult around.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's no witnesses. There's nobody on top of it who can say, ladies or gentlemen, that's just inappropriate.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's so important to report things early and encourage your students to do that.
Exactly. As soon as they're happening, hopefully. But if not, you know, as soon as, you know, that adult can, that initially is notified that it's happening. Yeah, that's very important. And then lastly, after the plan is in place, after the administration, the principal has maybe taken care of the issue and resolved it with the person that was bullying the victim, it's important to check in on the victim after this has all been done and taken care of. Because the truth is that whether or not, you know, the problem was solved, that child may still be feeling some trauma and some horrible memories of what had happened.
Apprehension.
Exactly. And they may still be struggling with what had happened. They may not be over it yet. They're not fully healed, which is completely understandable. So it's important for adults involved to check in afterwards, see how they're doing, and see how they're feeling at school. And if they're not feeling safe still and they're still having trouble healing, maybe talking to the school counselor about what other resources they have to support that student emotionally, whether that's outside counseling or check-ins at school, whatever that may be.
I'm guessing also through this process, not only are you meeting one-on-one students, you're meeting with groups of students, you're also meeting with parents.
Yes. Yes.
You're opening to that. You're encouraging that behavior.
Definitely.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
The partnership is so important. So, yeah, it's definitely, for us, it's so valuable that when any bullying comes to our attention, that we're talking to the parents involved, seeing how they're doing at home, and supporting the parents as well. Because as a parent, it can feel very threatening and hurtful that your student is being, or your child is being treated this way. That's mm-hmm. that's your baby, you know
right.
what I mean? So supporting the family as well and really showing them that you care just as they do about their child and that it matters to you and you're on top of it and doing anything you can to make that child feel safe at school. So definitely those relationships are so
important. And I'm just guessing some of those conversations actually center back on, well, let me just walk you through the scenario. And are they being rude or are they being mean? Or is this truly a bullying situation?
Yeah, yeah.
That's an important conversation,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah, so helping not just the students, but the parents, the families
understand.
Know, you know, the correct language so that we're all on the same page together. That's important for sure. We could all build resiliency.
Right. So what is the Classical Academies doing to address or even end bullying?
Yeah, so we do have a policy against bullying. And in our policy, we've explained various kinds of bullying that we shared today. And as well as we include prohibitions and actions that are taken to address incidences of bullying. We have also added to our policy protocol in supporting victims after bullying, like I mentioned earlier. So that is something that we care very much about, and we have a policy that is outlined to make sure that everything is done accordingly in making each student feel safe at school. So we have that provided. We also, the counseling department at the Classical Academies, we provide monthly campaigns that have various different topics throughout
okay.
the school year. In October, we are promoting school unity and inclusion. So we don't call it
anti-bullying.
Yeah, or bully prevention, but we call it Unity Month. And so we promote a campus of unity where we encourage the students to include each other, to be kind to each other, to consider each other, and to be advocates against exclusion or bullying.
Mm, okay.
So with that, we are partnering as well with that campaign with PACER's National Bully Prevention Center. And we host a fun festival that I'm going to let Jenny explain. It's called the Harvest Festival. This is for our elementary kiddos, so I'll let her explain that.
So we just started this about 2 years ago, and last year was our big festival where we were able to show a darling video called Spookly the Square Pumpkin that's all about, he's a square pumpkin living in a circle pumpkin world that where, you know, he has to kind of find his way and why he's special in his own right. And he gets, you know, bullied by some of the other circle pumpkins, but we kind of created a festival around this movie for our, you know, kinder through about fifth, sixth grade students, where they can come grab some popcorn, have some fall treats, and just go and enjoy the movie. And then we had, you know, some special guest speakers and some other activities, some social emotional activities that revolve around bullying and identifying what it is and how we can be kind and include our students in school. So
yeah, yeah. And then further than that, we celebrate Unity Day, which this school year or calendar year is going to be October 24th, where all of our campuses at Classical Academies, we wear orange in support of inclusion and unity on campus.
I remember getting an orange t-shirt.
Yes. That one. We all have the same one, too.
Such
so
a
we'll have to wear that and take a picture
color.
This year. But yeah, so we all wear orange together. And each of our campuses, the counselors host different activities and programs just to bring awareness.
Elevate
the conversation and bring everyone to the same language. So it's very important for us, and that's what our month of October is dedicated to.
Cool. So as we come to a conclusion of our conversation, are there tips, information, things we want to hit on again to make sure that our listeners are plugged into how they can maybe even access you, resources, time, things
exactly,
like that?
Exactly, exactly. So we do have our counseling department Schoology page on our Schoology accounts if you're a parent at the Classical Academies. If you have a question involving anything that we discussed today, counseling@classicalacademy.com
Perfect.
Is the contact for our counseling department, and we would be happy to provide you with resources, answer any questions, and get you connected so that we can all be on the same page and we can help families when it comes down to it. So,
wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. Well, Jenny and Alyssa, thank you so much for being here today and touching on a topic that can be uncomfortable, but also more great information for our families to encourage them as they work with their students.
Yeah.
So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, email us at podcast@classicalacademy.com. Subscribe to our channel or leave us a review. Thanks for listening.